We're going to go to a break. We're going to have Brad Friedman come on with us from bradblog.com. He's been on the show for, 4 years, talking about election integrity and, you know, shining a light on a dark, dark place in this state. All right? This is Shannon Moore, The Shannon Moore Show. Happy Friday. All right, welcome back. It's 20 minutes after the hour. This is Shannon Moore right here on KUDO 1080 AM, also KXLJ 1330 in Juneau and streaming at KUDO1080.com. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com has been a guest on this program for multiple elections and for multiple reasons. You can check out his blog, bradblog.com. And he's one of the squeakiest wheels on the subject of voting, according to CNN. Brad Friedman, how are you?
I'm doing well and still squeaking. How are you,
Shannon? Still squeaking.
Good.
You know, this has been a long haul talking about election integrity issues in the country, but certainly in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I get a chance to say, oh yeah, and by the way, we still have counting machines. Our scanners here, the GEMS-Diebold system, that aren't used in other states now.
Yep.
After being proven to drop a huge percentage of votes, and to not be accurate. And you've been covering this. You're an election expert. Can you explain a little bit why the elections in Alaska are a little bit hinky?
Well, you know what? They're hinky in Alaska. In many ways, the same way they're hinky everywhere, which is we rely on these machines that have been shown time and time again to be faulty, that should have never been certified on the federal level in the first place. You mentioned one of the big flaws in pretty much every Diebold system in the country, which is that it can drop ballots that have been scanned, entire decks of ballots. Can just disappear, and there will be no trace of them. There will be nothing in the audit logs, which are supposed to, you know, be something that you can look at to see how the system was used, who entered it, what they did, how many ballots were scanned, and so forth. Diebold admitted back in, I think it was 2009, that they have this serious flaw in all of their optical scanners. And they knew about it for a long time, and most jurisdictions have done nothing to fix it, nothing to correct it. And as well, they have done nothing to correct the fact that the audit logs themselves, which should allow citizens like you and me and candidates and so forth to oversee these systems to some extent, that the audit logs themselves can be gamed, that you can actually go in and remove stuff from the audit log. So let's say that you have access to the system, you're an administrator, you go in there and hit the delete button for 300 ballots. You can then, if the system actually recorded that you deleted those 300 ballots, you can just go into the audit log and remove that line. I mean, it makes these things incredibly easy to game. Now, that's not to say that people have done so, or people are doing so up in Alaska or anywhere else. It's to say that unless you bother to actually count the damn ballots, you don't really know what the results are. You're simply trusting in computers that can be gamed by bad guys, or that just, you know, frequently fail, that have these built-in flaws, like the Diebold GEMS tabulator that has a bug that drops out the first deck of ballots that are scanned into it. So, you know, it's crazy. We keep doing this year after year, and I always love talking to you, Shannon, no matter what time of year it is. But, you know, we come back to these elections every 2 years, and we're having these same discussions because nobody seems to give a damn about it in between elections. And then when we get to the elections, most people only give a damn about it in as much as it benefits their particular candidate.
Right. And to me, it is, regardless of whose ballot goes in there, I mean, it is so bedrock underneath, as passionate as I am about my ideology, this is not an ideologically based, problem that I have with this, other than I believe that the bedrock of this country is voting integrity, is election integrity. And you're right, we do come back to this, and you talk to the Democratic Party here, and they can push it only so far, and then it's, in 2008 there was a recommendation from the university that they replace and this particular software that we're using still, and they said, oh, we can't do it this close to the primary. You know,
right.
Like, well, okay. And as hard as people work, they go out and they hold signs for whatever candidate. I mean, why even bother if we're dealing with machines that, whether nefarious or not, they're flawed?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a problem. And you will hear, as you did, I guess that you said it was in 08 when they said it's too close to the primary to make any changes. You'll hear that around elections whenever these issues come up. And then as soon as the elections are done, everybody looks the other way and they start with their, back with the partisan bickering and this and that. And they are not paying attention to the thing that matters the most. That is, the mechanism that determines who will be in office and who won't be. And we don't pay attention to these things until it's too late, and then, it really is. You can't go into an election days before a primary or days before a general election and say, oh, there's a flaw in this software, we need to change it. I mean, I'm looking at a screenshot here on bradblog.com from, what is this? I think it's May of 2009, and it shows the Diebold Gems window, pop-up window. It's the viewer, the audit log viewer, that you can see how many ballots were scanned and this and that. There is, incredibly enough, a button on that viewer that says clear. It's built into the software. You hit that clear button, it wipes out the audit logs. That's built into the software. Now, if Joe Miller or Lisa Murkowski or Scott McAdams has a question about what happened in the Senate race and how these ballots were scanned and anything else, and they want to go back to the audit logs, there's absolutely no way to trust those audit logs because they can be gamed. So, you have to take other means to try to do your best to oversee these elections and to reconcile the results. And that is what the fight is about, I guess, up there in Alaska right now, at least for the Joe Miller campaign.
Well, and interestingly enough, I think this is the first time a Republican has had an issue.
Well, and interestingly enough, when Republicans have issues, they take the time, the money, the legal action to try to get something done about it. They also tend to abuse the process a lot, which is also a problem. But, at least they're often willing to go all the way to bat. Democrats find problems, and I know Democrats have found problems up in Alaska elections in the past, have raised them, but have not pushed them all the way to the Supreme Court where they should be pushed to. And this is democracy, for Christ's sake. This is it. This is the whole, the whole kit and caboodle. If we don't, take these fights all the way, then all of the other fights, don't really matter, do they?
Well, they just simply don't. And part of what I think has made this country great is that, we have elections, and even if you lose, you don't, grab a torch and pitchfork. You move on. You have either the same candidate or a different candidate, and you work hard for the next election. And you have to trust the system of voting and that the majority rules and that you're going to go along with that, and sometimes you win and sometimes you don't. But if you can't trust that process, and I haven't trusted it here. I mean, when you're sitting in election night and you're watching the results come in, and you're seeing that regardless of if it's Fairbanks or Juneau being reported, the percentages aren't changing on the boards. I mean, that's just weird.
You shouldn't have to use the word trust. You want to be able to trust. You should not have to trust. We don't ask you to trust in any other part of government, or at least, we shouldn't. When you have a question about government, how your money is being spent on this or that, you can make public records requests. You can, review the paper trail, so to speak, to make sure that, everything is on the up and up. Our system is built on checks and balances. It is not built on trust. Neither, then, should our election system be. You should not have to trust in election officials. And if you have any doubt about that, I can give you, you know, a pretty lengthy list in just the past few years of election officials who are sitting in jail right now because they gamed the system. And the system is easier than ever to game. So when you hear these Republicans out there talking about voter fraud this, voter fraud that, that is not the way elections are generally gamed. It's hard to game an election voter by voter. It's real easy to game an election by having one guy with insider access to these tabulators simply flip the numbers. And it is that easy, and it can be that easy, particularly if the evidence for how people voted in the elections is kept out of the hands of the citizens and the candidates who have a direct stake in these elections. And that is right now what is being fought about up there in Alaska, and as well it should be, because there's a lot of material that needs to be reviewed so that we can reconcile this election, this certainly the Senate election, or any other, to be frank, so that we know. We don't have to trust. We can know that the results are accurate. That's what democracy is about, isn't it?
Well, it certainly should be. We've got to run to a break. Do you have time for us to come back on the other side for a couple minutes?
Would love to.
All right. We'll be back with Brad Friedman, bradblog.com. Go check that out. And if you have questions or comments, of course, you're welcome to call in. 907-569-1080. This is Shannon Moore, The Shannon Moore Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Shannon Moore, The Shannon Moore Show, and Brad Friedman has been kind enough to stay on with us for a couple of moments. People are emailing in questions to shannonmoore@gmail.com. Welcome to call in, 569-1080 here. Brad Friedman, the other thing that's interesting to me is that, you know, this particular election, we had people calling in who were reporting from their precincts, talking to their precinct captains. At my precinct, they said, oh, the counter isn't working on the machines. It hasn't been for a while. But saying that they had big, big turnouts. You know, we had Glenn Beck come up here and do a rally. We had Rachel Maddow come up here. We had a tremendous amount of money. I don't remember any election with more money spent, more national press. And to find out that we had less people show up than we have in decades to vote. Is this something that shows up in the GEM software? Is this something that you would see from that?
Well, now, what you would see in the GEM software is, in theory, if the GEM software actually recorded what the GEM system did, and as we mentioned in the previous segment, that should not be taken on faith, since it's very, very easy to just delete entries into those audit logs. But it should tell you how many ballots were actually scanned. That doesn't necessarily match up with how many people voted. To determine that, you have to do the old slog of going through all of the election rosters, the poll books that people sign into, precinct by precinct, and count the number of people who signed in to vote to determine that, 312 people signed into this precinct, there should be 312 ballots or close to it. Sometimes people will, quit and, spoil a ballot and not actually cast it. But that's one way to determine and to oversee and to reconcile that the number of ballots are accurate. And that, frankly, is something that needs to be done, particularly in locations that don't count the count the ballots in front of everybody at the polling place on election night, where you've got multitudes of witnesses that the election was accurate. So now it's sort of a forensic after-the-fact issue of going back and figuring out, okay, This is how many ballots they say were cast, and does that match up with the poll books as far as how many people signed in? Then there's other reconciliation steps you have to take as well. How many ballots were printed and distributed to this precinct? Well, if there was, you know, 500 ballots sent to this precinct, 312 people voted, there should be 312 voted ballots and or spoiled ballots, and then another, 288 unvoted ballots. Those blank ballots are very important, and they're often overlooked in recounts and reconciliation, but, you know, you want to game an election on paper ballots, the easiest thing to do is just take a few blank paper ballots and stuff that ballot box at the precinct. Well, the way you, you know, oversee, make sure that doesn't happen, is by counting the blank ballots. Now, I understand that this is some of what the Joe Miller campaign is now talking about doing, as far as I believe the Division of Elections has told them they may not look at the poll books.
Right. Same thing they told the Democratic Party. Same thing they told me in 2008.
Yeah.
And when I asked the question, how many ballots did you have printed? Can we see proof of that? And how many, and audit the blank ballots, because there was this whole thing about, well, you can't see the cast ballots, whatever. Okay, let me just count the ballots that aren't cast, and let me see how many ballots were printed. Like, what kind of information could I possibly glean privately of Alaskan citizens, my, you know, because, you know, and it was basically like, you got a tinfoil hat on. Well, fine. Even if I do, it's my right to be able to trust this election and to see this. And it is one of the most closed systems that you can imagine.
And
about
it should
something
be the
that's,
most open,
right.
Transparent system you can imagine. And again, I'll just harp on you because you use the word trust again. I don't mean to harp on you, but I think it's really important that, you know, words and language matters here, because people need to understand it is not about trust. It's about oversight. You need to be able to oversee your elections. So if you ask the election division, can I see these ballots? Well, I guess they can say no. On the other hand, if you submit a public records request demanding to see the distribution of ballots, the receipts from the printers, because there should be a receipt from the people who printed the ballots as far as how many were printed, they need to give you those public records. Same thing for copies of the poll books. If they are unwilling to do so, then you or the Democratic Party or the Joe Miller campaign or Lisa Murkowski or whoever needs to get to a court of law and say, look, these are our elections. We have a right to, and we have a duty, frankly, to oversee these elections and to make sure that they're accurate. And this should be material that should be provided. It does not, you know, violate anybody's secret ballot to be able to see how many people voted that day and who those people were. You know, I mean, this is just common sense stuff. And so when I hear these people, and believe me, Shannon, I hear it year round about, you know, what a conspiracy theorist I am, and, you know, the tinfoil hat charge that you talked about. And it's always remarkable to me, because I'm not charging that anybody stole any election. I'm charging that the people ought to be able to oversee their elections, that, you know, the Constitution talks about self-governance. And if we're not allowed, you know, to have self-governance in the very most basic part of our democracy, then we don't have self-governance at all. So, like you say, asking to count the number of blank ballots, you know, if someone thinks that's a conspiracy theory, if they think you're wearing a tinfoil hat, that's fine. That's their problem. That's not yours. You're doing your democratic, small d democratic duty of overseeing your elections, and they, if they don't like it, they can go straight to hell, and you can go straight to a courtroom, presuming you can afford it.
Well, see, that's been the kicker in Alaska, is that, you know, to get a records request from the state of Alaska, you would get this outrageous bill. It was going to cost, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars for you to be able to access this. And it's just seems really hinky, and it's been hinky for a long time. And
it is.
And you know, I've had people say, you know, yesterday Lloyd Brown, who had listened to the program and who I'd talked to, you know, he's the founder of Citizens United. He's the guy with the Willie Horton ads. He's the guy up here working for Miller. But he's like, this is outrageous. I can't believe that they won't let you see. And I'm like, welcome to the rodeo, bucko.
Like, Gordon, you know, Brown, and on this point, you know, he's absolutely right. He's absolutely wrong on these other points where he goes out and charges voter fraud, as I tweeted earlier today, where, you know, there is no such evidence. The voters are doing fine, and Republicans and everybody else needs to leave the voters the hell alone, because they are doing their job. They are voting, and, you know, they should not be attacked and assaulted. But he's absolutely right that they ought to be able to count the number of people who actually signed into those poll books. And that's what I said, you know, somewhat the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats, although this isn't entirely true in Alaska, because the Democrats in Alaska have been about as good as anywhere in the country as far as fighting for transparency on the Diebold databases and everything else. But, you know, in general, Republicans will go to court. They will spend the money. They do have the money to go in there and fight for this stuff and bring lawsuits. And that's exactly what should be done. If Joe Miller, you know, no matter what you or I or anybody else thinks of him, if he is unable to count the number of people who have signed into those precincts because they won't let him see the poll books, that is outrageous. He needs to get to a court. And look, I know you've been working on a piece. I don't know if you published it yet, Shannon, but that sort of rounds up all of the problems that Alaska has had in the past with these insanely questionable numbers, where you had, you know, 2004 results and thousands of more voters were recorded as having voted precinct by precinct than were actually reported in the results of the election. And the same thing happened with Lisa Murkowski's election, as you detail this. There is every reason to be concerned about Alaska elections. By the way, there's every reason to be concerned about everybody's elections, but certainly in Alaska, with the history that you guys have, to suggest that anybody is a conspiracy theorist simply for trying to oversee their elections is outrageous and insulting. And, you know, it has helped if guys like Floyd Brown wouldn't be conspiracy theorists in, you know, charging some sort of voter fraud when there's no evidence for any at this time.
Well, and I think part of that is that he's been on a different side than us for a long time, and I expect continues to be. But, you know, the inexperience of, like, dealing with this, I mean, he's on the side normally talking about Acorn and all of this, and I think his inexperience, you know, this is an election integrity breach is what we're seeing, and we've been watching it for years. But unlike, you know, unlike the Democratic Party, the Tea Party actually has some money, and, you know, Gail Faunumi, I should be shaking in her shoes, and so should Lieutenant Governor Craig Campbell here for the stunts that they're pulling. I mean, it's either nefarious or inept, but regardless, we're collectively suffering. And, you know, years ago it was Whitney Brewster and Lauren Lehman who were running the elections, and at that point we found out that everyone in the department had the same username and the same password. The username was administrator and the password was password. That's how good the security was on our election system.
That's, by the way, not unusual. That's pretty much everywhere in the country, or at least it was until recently, that they used the default password that comes with the system. So, yeah, I mean, and frankly, even if they do change the password, these systems are so easily manipulated, it's not funny. And finally, you know, it's the people who have the password that you need to worry about the most. It is, as with any computer system, and you know, computer experts, computer scientists, cybersecurity experts will all tell you that the greatest threat to any computer system comes from insiders. They have the easiest access to do anything they want. That is not to say that they have, not to say that they will, but it is to say that you and I, Shannon, and everybody else, you know, listening in Alaska today, has a responsibility, a duty to oversee that system, and frankly, to school folks like Floyd Brown, who has a partisan interest in his own candidate, that's fine, but to school him on the difference between the propaganda nonsense that they've been using, shouting voter fraud all across the country every election as a tool for voter suppression, and saying, okay, now that you give a damn, now that your ox has possibly been gored here, pun intended, now it's time you start paying attention to what's really going on and how to really fight for oversight and transparency and what we call election integrity. And if they take that message and if they fight for that election integrity and that transparency, that benefits everyone, period, because that's what we need in every election for every party, no matter who the winners are and no matter who the losers are.
Yeah, and I have to say, you know, I think this is something that Lisa Murkowski should be on just as much as Joe Miller, insisting that these things be transparent, because, you know, whoever goes to Washington as the U.S. Senator from Alaska, everybody should feel like that was, you know, she's been through, being appointed by her dad and delegitimized because of how she got her position. And I would like to think that it would be important to her to go as legitimately as possible if she indeed did win this race. And it looks like she has. But regardless of that, I think that access has to be there.
And let me add, so should Scott McAdams, because whether he's won or lost or not, it doesn't really matter. And, of course, nobody actually knows these things because we're trusting in these faulty systems. But, you know, he, even if he loses here, he can still perform an important service to the voters of Alaska. He has certainly a standing as a candidate, as a non-write-in candidate for that matter. I would hope he would have the backing of the Democratic Party, but, you know, it seems like it is the Democrats up there who year after year seem to be getting screwed by this system. Scott McAdams can go to court and say, yes, we join Joe Miller in his concerns. We would like to be able to count the poll books. If it costs thousands of dollars to make copies, fine. Tell us where the poll books are. We'll go in there. We'll bring people. We'll count them right then and there in front of everybody, and the armed guards can make sure nothing happens to those poll books. But, you know, he can still perform a very important service to the voters of Alaska by using his standing. I know he's conceded, but a concession has actually no, you know, legal meaning in truth. He's still a candidate in this race. This race is still not certified. All hands on deck, because this is all going to come back to everybody 2 years from now in 2012. And Shannon, you and I are going to be on the air having the same damn discussion.
I know that we did in 2008 and 2006. Yeah. I know.
You know, we do it, you know, every 2 years. And it's like, is anybody going to pay attention? Is anybody actually going to do something, whether it's now, when there's an election that people actually give a damn about and that's going to have an effect on the Senate, or when this election is finally done and we've got two more years to change the system, or does everybody just forget about it again until 2012 rolls around?
Well, that's what I would sincerely hope doesn't happen this time. And you know, perhaps, you know, the Democratic Party and Joe Miller and whoever else will get on board. I mean, I would encourage Lisa Murkowski to say, okay, we need to make sure that this is all clear. But, you know, she never asked, wow, did I really win? Because I had more votes at the precinct than on a state level in 2004. So, Brad Freeman, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Always good to be here.
You're a rock star. And I know you're subbing today for Mike Malloy.
I am going to be on for Mike Malloy tonight. Don't know if KUDO carries him or not.
We
but
do.
I'm going to be there, so tune in tonight.
We certainly do, and love Mike Malloy, and I look forward to hearing you sub for him later today and for all your insights.
Thanks for all you're doing, Shannon, and please stay in touch on this and keep up the good fight up there, okay?
All right. Thanks so much, Brad. Brad Freedman, bradblog.com. Please check it out. Go back and look at the history. He's been covering Alaska, the Jim's Diebold system, the hinkiness that has been abounding here, and apparently breeds more of every election. I know. It's crazy. Welcome to Alaska. 569-1080, the number here, 907-569-1080. How's your Friday going?